This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard, not the billiards. It was
billiards room.
Come on already. Come on, we call it the
Place to Be.
The Place to Be, yes, the Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
D'Lo Brown interfered with a frog splash and hit it on Severin, getting some revenge.
I know.
What the hell was it? What was that laugh? It was like an old cartoon fucking Hanna-Barbera dog or something. It was like Snidely? Was that the fucking dog that laughed like that?
JR's got a little more time than I do to sit and actually rewrite a whole show.
This is the third time you said it to me today now. I'm really curious.
Well, I'm not saying that you have nothing to do. I'm just saying
I'm curious
day...
I'm curious how I have more free time than
no,
you.
No, I'm going to report it.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I know it's been a rough, and I'm not used to this long, grueling podcast schedule.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Are you guys just joking off for the next hour?
Fun. Did you say D'Amato, late 20s, 30s?
Just being...
And you included yourself in that as well?
I was being nice to him. I am still technically in my 30s.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
What the fuck is a shock wall?
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
You go all through the shock wall.
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. PTB Nation. Let me know what
you're
doing.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard. You hit the door slam. I realize there's nowhere left to run. You feel the cold. I wonder if you ever see the sun. You close your eyes and hope that this is just imagination.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to this super freaky, scary edition of the Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live on this Wednesday evening, Halloween's Eve, All Hallows Eve, although I think Halloween actually is All Hallows Eve, right? Correct. Of course, we are here with our annual Halloween Spooktacular episode, second annual. Last year was our first, and of course, this was opening up a little bit different than that one did, because... That one opened with Derek LaRue holding us hostage and scaring everyone for thinking he may be part of the show. But obviously that's not the case. So let me bring in the man who's always scaring children the other 364 days of the year. And that is, of course, my PIC, Mr. Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
Get out of here, kids!
Hey, you guys, get out of here! I don't want you here. I don't want you here!
Welcome back, PIC, from Film and Country. Did you get a souvenir broken piece of kiddie pool?
Yes, I did.
Or the broken wagon?
I took the car door that guy's head was slammed
the guy's head went into. Yes. Looked like you did gurgle some bourbon. I like the beginning. Welcome, PDB Nation!
I know, right? Little horse.
Jesus.
It's been a long... Well, I'll get to it in a minute. It's set up the show here, but it's been a long 4 days. I'm running on fumes. Yeah. So this is my dedication to... I always talk about how much I love... holiday themed episode. So this is my dedication to that, delivering on that.
Yes,
those comments I've made.
Yes. Welcome, PTB Nation, to episode 265 of the Place to Be podcast. And as JR noted, it is the specialty Mischief Night episode. Although it's kind of comboing with Mischief Night and All Hallows Eve, which will take place on Thursday. Mm-hmm. We've got a cornucopia of fun and games. I haven't said that much. No headlines, but
all kinds
what
of
a fun
treats.
Yes, lots of treats and tricks and maybe some scary monsters that come through the door. Who knows? What is on the plate for us this evening, JR?
Well, actually, maybe we won't reveal too much. We'll definitely talk about Hell in a Cell. Probably not too much because I didn't see it, so you'll be carrying the load on that one. We have a couple of Halloween-themed lists we're going to do. We're going to do some NFL whatnots. And, our trick-or-treat, our annual trick-or-treat segment we always do.
Yes.
Yep. That's actually our third year doing that. The first year we didn't do a specific Halloween episode.
No.
But we did indeed Do some trick-or-treating.
Do some trick-or-treats, yes.
We'll break that out, of course. And then whatever else comes up along the way, we'll get into. So, as you mentioned, Scott, yes, I was in Pillman Country. I was in basically right on the river between Covington, Kentucky, and Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Went there for work. On Sunday, went to the Jets-Bengals game. Me and my boss were decked out in our Jets garb, and it was fun up until the game started. It was downhill from there. I am done going to live games for the Jets because this is the last two I've gone to now. They've lost by a combined like 100 to 12 because this was 49-9 the final. And when I went the last game I went to live, they lost to the Patriots on Monday night 45-3. So I am done going to live games, and especially in other stadiums, because it just does not end well for me. So but yeah, the stadium was cool. We had a good time. It was a good atmosphere. The fans were very into it, and they weren't obnoxious. It was nice. It was a nice break from going to like Foxborough, you know, where they're all know-it-all pricks. But out there, Paul Brown, I felt a little bad because they were getting on me a little bit with my Jet stuff, and I wasn't saying anything. Obviously, it was nothing for me to say, but I felt a little bad because I thought Bengals fans, I thought them and the Jets were kind of, you know, brethren in suffering. I thought they'd kind of respect us because we all have sucked for so many years. I didn't think they'd be throwing me under the bus immediately after a loss. My only comeback that I would just say, I let them have their fun, but after a while, if they kept getting in my face, I was just like, you know, win one playoff game in the last 20 years, and then we'll talk. You know, when you win a playoff game, you can come rub it in my face that you're winning on one Sunday. But they looked like a juggernaut on Sunday, Scott. Marvin Jones looked like fucking Jerry Rice circa 1989 in that game.
Oh, jeez. Andy Dalton looked like Joe Montana.
It was
five touchdown passes.
I'm glad I had downed a few Kentucky Bourbon Ales ahead of time. So it was a delicious beer. I'm told there's a rumor that it may actually be available around here.
Really? Good combination. Ale, Kentucky, bourbon, all three things.
It's delicious and it's strong. So I'm gonna search it out. I heard a rumor it's available around here. So
you know what the brand is. What's the brand called?
I thought it was just Kentucky Bourbon Ale.
Oh, that's the name of the... Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
after a while, you weren't really looking at the label.
Yes,
the print was probably too small. So,
then we get there, we're walking around, and they actually had a couch. And I just put these pictures up on my Facebook page. They had a couch, a Bengals couch, just like in one of the concourses. You could sit and watch the game. So I just plopped down there, and a few of us were sitting there, and we got away with it for a little bit until about the first drive, and then the security finally came over and tossed us. But by the midway through the third quarter, my boss and I, who are both Jets fans, are just wandering the bowels of the stadium aimlessly. So then before you know, we headed back over the river back to Covington, but went to some pretty cool bars. Last night we were at a German brew house.
I saw that. You were a little sausage house action going on.
Yeah, apparently that exact name is, there's only two in the world. There's one actually in Germany and then one here in Covington on the water. I guess Covington's a big German town, so.
Oh, okay.
It was a cool little area, though. It had a bunch of bars and restaurants all out in the water. It's actually in Newport, Kentucky, was where we were. And it's kind of funny because it looked kind of like Newport, Rhode Island. But
yes, it is very funny.
So that was good. And then what was the other thing I wanted to say? Today, I ended up switching my flight to the early flight. And honestly, Scott, the best flight I've ever had. It was maybe half full, like 25 of us on there. I had no one in front of me, only one in back of me, but she was on the other side. Like, I sat against the window and I spread out. I had no one in my row. And it was nice and cold, so I had my sweatshirt on. I was able to sit there and close my eyes and relax. I hate when planes are too hot. It drives me nuts. So, so all in all, it was a good trip. I missed being away from home and kind of getting thrown off schedule a little bit. But just wanted to catch everyone up as to why we only have the one show this week. But I didn't get a lot of sleep only because with Delta, if you want to change your flight for that day, you need to call after midnight. So I was on the phone at like 12:01 trying to change my flight to the 11 a.m. instead of the 4 p.m. because I didn't want to land in Boston right in the middle of rush hour World Series traffic. So I was trying to switch to 11, and that was not really guaranteed that I could get on. I could have been on standby. And the guy was like, well, I can get you on the 7:05 flight or 7:15 flight. I was like, oh fuck. I'm like, all right. So I went to bed. By the time I finally fell asleep, because you know, you kind of wound up, so I didn't get to bed till like almost 21, and then my wake up call was at 4:40. So I am running on 4 hours of sleep now here at 8:45 Eastern time. But all for you, Scott. All for you and the nation.
Well, thank you, JR, and glad it was a nice trip. But I'll tell you something right now. I would rather have lost the way you lost on Sunday than the way that I lost on Sunday.
Yeah, I would agree with that. 100%.
That was not Wednesday. It was Sunday afternoon in Detroit. Was not pleasant. The come from behind thing annoyed me one thing, but no NFL defense should give up 623 yards of offense. That's putrid. That's college defense. That's not an NFL defense. And Monty Kiffin should be fired. He sucks. I'm softened on Dez Bryant a little bit, but he still annoyed me with his antics. You're not T.O. You don't have the T.O. cred, so shut your pie hole and get back to practice.
But isn't a little bit, at least he showing he cares?
I don't have a problem with him caring, but you don't get in your QB's face. You want to get.
I like how everyone trashes not you, but I like how everyone trashes Romo, and now all of a sudden they're all running to his defense like he's some weakling after they fucking guy throws for 500 yards and 17 touchdowns against Denver, and he throws one pick and he's the devil, and now all of a sudden everyone feels bad for him.
Yeah, exactly. I know. But that loss was just piss poor.
How do you give up 330 yards to one receiver, even if it is Calvin Johnson?
I know it's awful.
330 yards receiving by one guy.
And the catches he made on that last drive, it's like they weren't even covering him. It was putrid.
I mean, that
putrid
one leaping catch was amazing. And then the fake spike was just the salt in the wounds.
Yeah, I know. Putrid. Absolutely putrid. But I actually want the Cowboys to win the division at 7-9. I really do. I want them to be under 500. I think that'd be hilarious. But
I don't think you want that, because if you finish at 7-9, there's a chance you may miss the playoffs because
yeah, they'll just blow the whole division out.
I'm not counting out as much as I wanted to, and I've kind of been spinning it on social media and whatnot. I'm still not counting the Giants out. At 2-6 in that division. That's sad. I mean, it is disgusting that your team has not
taken advantage
of this disastrous division.
It's putrid. Putrid. That's my word.
Sickening.
Putrid. Yep. Absolutely.
You should be sick.
Sick. Speaking of sick, we got a lot of sick stuff. We got a lot of sick. You sick toad. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Speaking of sick toads, the door is ready to be knocked soon. Because you know, might have some trick or treaters.
Well,
here
I just put the light on, so we'll see.
Okay, all right, we'll see.
Right, why don't we get to Hell in a Cell? Because now, I didn't see the show, so you're flying solo on this one.
Right.
What are your thoughts overall?
Overall, it wasn't horrendous, but I feel like that WWE can't put together two straight good pay per views. I feel like, and not just good like quality.
Hang on, Scott. I think we got our first trick-or-treater here, actually, already. Sorry, we didn't mean to interrupt you, but
No.
Why don't you go ahead and open the door for us?
All right. Let's see. What we got here. Okay. Here we go. Trick-or-treat.
Trick-or-treat.
Hey!
Boys.
Brad Woodling dresses the Pope. Is that an homage to Scott?
It is.
Yes.
Well, welcome. What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to pop in. As you know, I got to give my Hell in the Cell predictions, and Scott and I got to live blog the show.
Ah, it's so tremendous.
Maybe you'd want to hear a little bit about what my thoughts are coming off the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I like how Scott got jumpy and asked you trick-or-treat, even though he opened the door. Obviously, it's been a while since he's been involved in this kind of stuff.
I did that on purpose. I was waiting for you to say something. I wanted to make sure you're back in the groove, so I did it on purpose. But
always an excuse. Okay, guys. I did not see Hell in a Cell, but you guys both live blogged it, so why don't you give your – I was just asking Scott his thoughts on the show. Instead of going match by match, let's just kind of hit the highlights and lowlights and where you see things going from here. So I'll let you guys take it from there.
Well, like I said, I think they can't put two straight shows together in terms of formatics and pre-production. Like, I felt like Battleground was actually pretty good. There were some good matches. It was formatted well. There was no dead spots. And then we get to Sunday, and it's like, all right, matches are pulled, and then we have to add a couple more, and then there's all this other stuff, and it just didn't feel – it felt like they were unorganized. And the main event, until the last, like, 7 minutes, I thought the main event was pretty good. But the last 7 minutes, the minute Triple – I can't believe I'm about to say this, but the minute Triple H came down the ramp, the whole match went in the toilet, in my opinion. What were your original thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head with the main event. So as soon as your boy came down and started consistently screaming at Shawn Michaels to do his job and don't forget to do your, you know, and then of course, so that distracts HBK from Orton hit like a fallaway slam. So it wasn't even like he hit an RKO and that was like a, you know, a missed call or whatever. You know, he hits like a fallaway slam, catch suplex, something like that. And Triple H is just constantly overacting. It completely takes away from what they do in the middle of the ring, which is, you know, Brian hits his finish. But they get the ref bump and then Brian hits his finish and then they go into the rest of it there. So yeah, I mean, leading up to that point, I thought they used the cell a decent amount for what amounts to a Hell in a Cell match nowadays. So that was pretty cool. But then the end, just like the big blow off at the end. And if you want, I can go into kind of my thoughts on the feud and kind of what they were trying to go for there, as much as we both dislike it. But Scott, let me ask you first.
Mm-hmm.
So when you saw, so going back to our prediction show, I did predict that Randy Orton would win after some type of chicanery from Shawn Michaels while he wouldn't turn heel, something like that. And then Orton would keep, you know, the title, and then Bryan would do something else and come back later. So Scott, you were pretty upset in the live blog. I was trying to keep an even head myself. What were your thoughts after Shawn hit the super kick?
I was really annoyed. I mean, I really thought that we'd get a legit finality to the match, and Daniel Bryan would finally get his moment. After thinking about it, though, and particularly the formatics, the ending of the match didn't bother me. You know what? Orton won, whatever. Daniel Bryan's become fairly bulletproof, in my opinion, and he'll get. I think he's been siphoned off, and he'll come back for the title down the line. But I just didn't like the way it was. I mean, the camera angles were bad.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, first off, Daniel Bryan wasn't even close to hitting Triple H with that knee, and that was Triple H's fault. He kind of owed, in the immortal words of Brown, what's his name, Manager Brown in Major League. I don't remember his first name. He did the Ole bullshit when Daniel Bryan threw
get
the
in
knee.
Front of it, Dorn. Don't give me to that Ole bullshit.
Yeah, and that's you know exactly what and that's exactly what he did. He totally
you know what
missed
it reminded me of, Scott. It reminded me of Triple H and Randy Orton at WrestleMania 25. Remember when Triple H hit the punt when he was coming through the ropes at the end, and they
yes.
had a bad camera angle where he completely whiffed.
Yeah.
It was exactly like that. They had,
yep.
But you're right, too. As soon as the ref bump happened, the angles were all off. They nearly missed the knee on Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They barely got the one on Triple H. I don't know what the hell was going on.
I don't know what Kevin
right.
Dunn was
then, yeah, and then the Triple H one, they just had. I mean, that was really bad.
Yep, and then
that was really
and then,
bad.
Yeah, and then the angle that they, the camera angle they had for when Shawn actually super kicked, it looked like he missed him too. It just was bad. It was just everything about that. The last like 7 minutes of that match was just so bad.
Shut up!
No, I'm not gonna shut up because it's all your fault. You probably booked this crap. It was bad. I mean, I just was bad. I mean, it was just everything was wrong about it. It just looked Triple H just banging the. Yeah, I'm glad you find it funny because I'm sure the buy rate's not going to make you laugh. But it was just even the whole John Cena winning thing, which had annoyed me for a couple of minutes. I think everybody even forgot that happened. You know, I will say this though, and I don't want to get into Raw and everything like that. We'll talk more about that over the next few weeks as we get closer to Survivor Series. But I do feel like that the product almost did a mini retcon on Monday. I feel like they wanted to kind of clean. They wanted to rush through the storylines on Sunday at Hell in a Cell. Get this Brian Orton crap done, and let's focus on these about three or four new storylines. And now, of course, you know, all this Wyatt family stuff that happened on Raw. And you know,
did you guys
show.
Read the story today that Brian taking out Shawn on Raw was meant to end that story now?
Well, I didn't see that story, but I kind of posted something earlier. I was putting some thoughts together on a different board that. And really, too, going back to the match, like his knee on Triple H was meant to be like his moment, right? And so that was it. No Triple H versus Daniel Bryan match at WrestleMania. His moment of finally getting back at Triple H was to hit him with the knee and then get pinned. And then to your point, Justin, you know, put him in the yes lock, Shawn Michaels, and walk off, and that's it. So that was the retribution for him losing his spot.
So you think his story's done now? You think he's out of this altogether?
I do think for a couple months at least, and I mean, I hope that they do something more with him, like around the Rumble, maybe to rebuild it. But what I'm hearing is that's not where they're leaning.
Yeah,
and that's pretty disappointing. But going back to real quick to Daniel Bryan hitting that knee, that would have been a pretty big moment, even if he lost, except for one thing. They already had the Big Show punch out Triple H on Raw weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
If that was the first contact against Triple H, that's a meaningful thing. But really what they're saying here is that he really wants to transition, and he being Vince, Triple H, whatever. They really think that the Big Show is going to be the one that gets over this big authority angle. And now Daniel Bryan has completely been shunted out of it. He'll work something with Punk and the Wyatts, which is cool. But it's, you know, Big Show got to have that moment first. And now, as we know from Raw, you know, he's there at the end, and we're going to have to probably so is deal that with the, a couple of those guys.
Yes, is that the Survivor Series match? I didn't see Raw either. Obviously, I caught the very like last 40 minutes of it or so, but I was kind of in a bourbon haze. So was
they haven't announced anything, but I mean, okay. That's where it seems to be leaning is somebody or this lawsuit that Big Show has, which actually brought back David Otunga, which was cool for continuity yes. purposes.
Yeah, that was fun.
But it seems like that's where they're leading. They haven't announced anything yet because Big Show isn't officially rehired, so I'm sure they'll probably do something like, you know, we'll rehire you for this one match, and maybe he'll get another ironclad contract that's not really ironclad.
Yeah.
But that was my point with the whole Bryan thing, is that it seems like that was supposed to be his big moment, was the knee to Triple H and then pulling Shawn out. I don't know, Scott, do you think that – I don't think that Shawn's going to wrestle him. I don't think there's going to be any more payoff to that, which is disappointing. You know, in 24 hours, it was done.
You know, I think Shawn takes that whole – unlike Flair – Sean, I think, really takes the retire thing very seriously. I think he's, you know, he's a kayfabe guy and from way back. And I think he's, you know, hey, I was retired by Undertaker, WrestleMania 26 in Glendale, and that's the way it's going
to
stay.
I feel like if Sean's going to come back, it has to be like a big time match. And I think a match with Danny Bryan would be good, like very good. But it's not like a big time match. You know, it's not going to sell. It's not going to main event. It's a great mid-card WrestleMania match. You know, work rate rise, it could be one of the best matches, you know, in WWF history, WWE history. But I'm just talking Mania draw-wise. If you're going to bring Shawn back, is that the match you really do it for? Right. I feel like Bryan's established enough. He doesn't really need to beat Shawn Michaels to become a star. So I do think he does need to face and beat Triple H, though. Whether it's a Mania, Chamber, Rumble, wherever. I think at some point he needs to beat him in a one-on-one match.
I agree, to really bring it home. Otherwise, it does kind of look like he's a bit of a choker in the angle and gets overshadowed by Big Show there. And just real quick on Shawn Michaels, honestly, the only match I could see them having would be if he wrestled Triple H, because Triple H would be like, hey, buddy, we're going to do this right. And and they didn't go that way.
Or someone like Rock or something. You know what I mean? Like a big-time dream match.
That would
draw a lot of money.
That would be a dream match. That would draw, I think.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Punk-Bryan team against the Wyatts here, if this goes down, is that setting up? Because the rumor has been that we're going to get Punk and Bryan for the title at Mania, that Punk would win the belt and Bryan would win the Rumble, or vice versa. So do you think this is the beginning of that? They're kind of friends throughout the winter, and then things kind of splinter as we get towards Mania?
I mean, you know, they kind of did something like that with Daniel Bryan with Kane before,
right,
just pretty recently. But I would be on board with that. I think that would be pretty cool. I like that they're facing the Wyatts, and I thought that maybe they would put Punk into the main event scene with Orton right away. Maybe they will after Survivor Series, depending on how long they want to go with the Big Show with it. But yeah, I mean, that makes so you're saying that Punk gets the belt at like the Rumble or something from Orton?
Yeah.
One of them wins.
Yeah, I think one of them defeats Orton. I think if you have Punk defeat Orton and Bryan win the Rumble, doesn't mean as much. I feel like you might as well have Bryan beat Orton to polish that feud off, and then he defends against Punk and Mania. And
I would
Punk
agree
takes
with
the
that.
Belt there. I think they'd rather have Bryan be the transitional champion and have Punk take it back at Mania.
Hmm. So you think Bryan... So Punk wins the Rumble, you think, then? And Bryan...
If I had a guess right now, it's based on, you know, all the millions of rumors floating out there and the fact that they are starting to team them up. It seems kind of weird they decided to team them up now if they weren't going to build to something down the road.
Mm. I think they want to make it a very... Well, if there is no Shawn at Mania, this is the time of the year now, right before the Survivor Series and then TLC, where we start formulating, you know...
Unless you're on this podcast we start back in May.
Yes. WrestleMania hypotheses. Once again, they're still hinting Goldberg. They had that rigged poll on Raw Monday night. Which WrestleMania dream match do you want to see on 2K14? And the winning match was Taker and Goldberg.
I mean, Goldberg and Chad Campbell's family must have been like voting 4,000 times.
Yes. And all of anyone working out at the Ibaka gym at that point was calling it.
Yes. Now, if that is it for Shawn, and we don't see him, we have to talk about the other title, of course. I mean, we won't get into that tonight, but that's the other thing that needs to be thought of over time is is this just Cena's belt now for him to hold as long as he wants? Because he's kind of been shunted a little bit. I mean, he is. I thought it was just a red herring, but he is going to be on SmackDown now.
I still don't see it lasting long. I
don't either. I mean, are they that paranoid about SmackDown's ratings? Really?
The TV? I'm sorry, they're trying to work out a TV deal right now too.
Yeah, so and that might be a part of it.
That could still be a big part of it. Is that if he's got a belt, even a secondary belt, while they have the Raw ratings with how they are or whatever, and with him back, that'll help. I think that maybe makes him a little bit more attractive too. And I will say one other trick or treat, depending on how you like it. It wouldn't be the build to WrestleMania if there weren't conversations and rumors that this is going to be the year where they unite the belts and Cena are going to face each other every year. I don't think it'll ever happen. But
so the good news is, it seems like Damian Sandow is at least staying in the mix here. I'm just kind of skimming the SmackDown results, of course, because he was jobbed out pretty quick and lost his briefcase on Monday night. Not pretty quick, right? He had a competitive match, and then Cena kind of
It's tough to be beaten by a one-armed man, especially when you get to beat the crap out of him beforehand. But it was a pretty good match. And honestly, I'm not sure. I mean, Sandow did a good job, and it's almost refreshing that they didn't do like the hot shot job where like the guy they've been burying like wins right away, and then we have to deal through like a crappy reign where he just chickens out of matches. So if he stays involved with it still, I think that would be great rather than them moving on to Del Rio right away.
And it sounds like he is, at least maybe on SmackDown. I don't know if it'll carry over to anything, but he's vowed to end the Cena era, so we'll see. So anyway, he's still in the mix, and they're still using him on that level, which is good, because you just have assumed, coming off of Raw, that it was right down to the bottom for him. So,
Or as Scott Criscolo, in his very popular Raw post, said, good luck at Ring of Honor with whatever name they give you.
Yes. Come up with another name. I guess he could use Idol Stevens or whatever, some type of alliteration of his name, but... there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to think about now over the last 2 months of this calendar year before we really hit the arc in the new year.
So were you guys disappointed? Because I feel like there was some excitement surrounding the show.
I don't know. It seemed a lot flatter than I thought it was going to be.
Was it worse than Battleground?
A little. Even though there was a definitive end to the main event, I liked Battleground's undercard. I did like the tag match Sunday night. I love Cody and Goldust. Boy, they really rejuvenated that tag division.
Well, that's another rumor right now from Mania, is that they're going to split them and let them wrestle and have that match anywhere last year.
That would be awesome.
Well, I think they will. I think that is going to happen.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I like the tag match, too. I really like that spot where Cody did the superplex to the outside onto the guys. You don't see that too often.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I like the impromptu, not really impromptu. I mean, obviously they knew earlier in the day. I like the fact that they used the pre-show to have like a little bit of a promo going back and forth with Ambrose and Big E, and then that turned into a pretty decent match on the show, too. I kind of like that one. I thought that was certainly better than whatever they were trying to do with Punk and the Cell.
Yeah, that match was all right. I guess my prediction was true. I think unless the Devil... Now, you didn't see this part, JR, on Monday night, but
that's a good point.
Apparently both times that the Riots attacked Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, Bray said, "The Devil made me do it."
I think it's Heyman?
And what did Heyman Brad, what did Heyman say when he was on the platform Sunday night?
He was calling himself the Devil, so...
He was calling himself the Devil.
That's a good point. I did not make that connection.
So, JR, we might both be right. The direct feud with Punk may have ended... But this might be another chapter, another layer added to it.
As meticulous as they are with that kind of stuff, I can't imagine they would let him go out there and call himself the Devil if they had the use of the word devil planned for something else. So I got to believe there's a tie there somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, too.
So I'll be interested to see where they go with that. Mm-hmm. All right, Brad, we're going to move along. I think
I got a couple other houses to hit where the big boys play. I love that show.
It's part of giving away tonight.
Probably.
He's giving away Ganya trading cards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we kind of blew the synergy tonight. We should have had all of the shows record on the same night and everyone just bar hop around through the...
yes, it's like, do that next year. I really like that idea.
We should do that. We should have everyone record the same night and we all hop around on each other's shows. Yeah, all right, get out of here. You already pilfered enough candy and haunted enough people, so...
See you later.
See ya.
Bye, Brad.
All right, Scott, why don't we get into our first of our two or three here Halloween-themed lists.
Yes.
So why don't we start with the scariest wrestlers?
Okay, scariest wrestlers. We only did five because there's a boatload, but there's five in particular that JR and I deliberated as the five scariest wrestlers. This is all of wrestling, but there's only one that's outside of the WWE/F/E. At number five, Mantar. That was a pretty scary looking buffalo head.
Yeah, you were scared of Mantar?
He was a little creepy. He creeped me out.
I was more scared that Jim Cornette hung around with this guy that was a half moose, half human being.
But of course, we do have a version of him in WWE now, as the Los Matadores' little friend is called. I call him hashtag Midget Mantar.
Yes.
They look very close. So number five, Mantar. Number four.
Did Mantar, you know what we missed with Mantar that would have been great?
Mm.
The A-Rod Centaur mirror pose. Like, I feel like we were robbed of that in like Raw magazine or WWF magazine, a pictorial of Mantar doing that.
Yes, that would be very funny. Number four, the Boogeyman.
Yeah, Boogeyman was creepy. I'll say that he did some fucked up stuff. They really went all out with him, and that was during that period right before we kind of were getting to the PG stuff, so they're still a little bit edgy.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of doing some weird stuff and. I think he was a weird looking guy anyway. And then the paint didn't help, but the missing teeth that always kind of creeped me out.
Yep,
eating the worms.
And we'll talk about Boogie in our other list.
Yes,
we discuss some of the scariest WWF moments. Not all Halloween, just creepy in general.
But even some of the other stuff he did that were creepy were just the nursery rhymes and everything else. Where he would, yeah,
so and weird. He would come up at the least possible moment in terms of. Least expected, some backstage skit. John Cena standing next to a couch, and he just kind of shows up behind the couch.
And sings
nursery rhymes. Very creepy. At number three, even though this guy was in the WWF/E, I guess F at the time, he was much creepier in other federations. And that was the great Kabuki. He scared the shit out of me when I was a kid back in World Class. He had the weird fucking hair and...
There were some real villains around when you were a kid. I mean, there was Adolf Hitler, right? Benito Mussolini.
Yeah, exactly. And Genghis Khan.
There were some real bad dudes around when you were a kid. So exactly. For him to scare you.
Pontius Pilate.
Yes, the ultimate heel when Scott was
the ultimate heel, Pontius Pilate. He was kind of he was like Shawn Michaels. He didn't know. He had to do what he had to do. So.
He had to kill Jesus. What are you going
to
do?
Yes, he had to kill Jesus. He had to kill Jesus, John Cena.
That scared you straight. I mean, that's why you walked the straight and narrow now. You're the Knights of Columbus, the Grand Knight.
Exactly.
You were scarred from punches as a kid.
Yes, scarred from evil punches. No, Great Kabuki was a
Jabber Barabbas. Let him go.
Yes. And Barabbas is now in the Wyatt family. So no, Kabuki was a scary motherfucker back in the World Class days when he was with Gary Hart and he had like the long hair and like Muda. You'd say, well, what about Muda? Muda didn't have creepy face paint. Muda had like the competitive face paint, whereas mm-hmm. Kabuki looked like a fucking lunatic. You could kind of lump him in with like the Missing Link.
Yeah,
he was kind of creepy too. So, but definitely
Skinner.
He's another one like honorable mention.
Kind of creepy, dragging out of the swamp and skinny like an alligator.
Waylon Mercy,
Virgil. They may call you brother, for all that they call you alligator bait.
Number two. Mankind, the original, like the first like 6 months of 1996, mm-hmm. from like April to like the end of the
especially
year.
Especially those vignettes. I mean, the vignettes right to the debut was Creep City with that kind of stuff and the whole weird backstory he had. And then first, you know, when he attacked Taker that first night on Raw and jamming his fingers on his throat, and they used to have the guys all spit up all over his hand and everything while he was doing it and ripping his own hair out and everything else. Definitely, I'm with you on this one.
Yeah, that was definitely creepy. And maybe no doubt about it. You may not think he's creepy now because he's a lot of people's favorites, but when he first started, he was very, very menacing. The number one scariest wrestler of all time, The Undertaker. And I'll tell you, JR, from when he started in November of 90 to like, I would say like mid-95, I thought he was pretty, pretty menacing.
Well, right in the very beginning, he was very scary. I mean, when you see him come out of Survivor Series 90, some of the look on the people in the crowd's faces are like, what the hell is this? And
yeah, it was legit.
I saw him live in like early 91 or late 91, I forget, at a house show. And like the kids behind me were all like freaked out big time. And then he kind of got friendly. He was a friendly Undertaker for a while. And then when he went to the ministry stuff again, obviously kind of scary, just thinking this guy thinks it's real, you know, so that, that was kind of scary.
Yes.
In its own right. But I think also adding to the scare factor was Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
He was pretty creepy in the beginning, too.
Yep. Fat and pasty. Yeah. Very. Yeah. And that with the dark eyes. And I thought the funeral parlor segments really pushed that home, too.
Yeah.
With the creepy sets and the black flowers and all that kind of stuff. Definitely.
Yeah, they did a good job making him a legit scary character.
Yes.
As was obviously the intent. And it's kind of funny they put him with Brother Love of all people at first because he's a very kind of goofy character.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of scary, Scott, I meant to mention this before when I was talking about my weekend trip. So we're driving through Covington last night, and there's a drive-through liquor store.
Oh.
Called, it was Big Something. Big Johnny's or something like that. I forget the hell the name of
it. Not the friendly tap.
Big somethings. So you actually, we drove by it. It was actually like a drive-thru window. There was someone there, and you tell them what you want, and they give it to you in the window, and you drive off. It was a drive-thru liquor store. But in the back of this liquor store is like a raised-up like trailer, like this weird half shed or something with a wooden ladder going up to it. And one of the guys that works with us that is from that area said, apparently, they used to rent that room out for, like, truck drivers and other people driving through the area that wanted to pick up hookers or whatever and use it by, like, a pay-by-the-hour room. So not only do you have this drive-through liquor store, you also have them renting it out some creepy raised-up fucking barn for people to go bang. It was really fucked up.
Oh, God. Buy a pint of gin and juice, get a free conjugal visit.
Right? I mean, what the hell? If anyone's from that area, let us know, because I'm curious about this. Then give you some more information. I can't remember the name now. I had it in my head, and I forgot it. It was Big Something's Liquor Store.
I can't even fathom that.
It's an interesting area.
Oh, God. So bad. It's not even like a house. Like, it was temporary. Like if Vice came, they could, like, roll it into the woods.
It was weird. It was just like this raised structure. It was almost like a movie trailer or something. Like, you'd go up and
yeah, movies going on in there. All right.
It's odd. It was very odd. It was definitely something you'd see like in a weird fucked up movie.
Or in Ashley Cruz's or Graham's Neighborhood.
That's not nice.
So
all right, we got one more top five list here, Scott. We wanted to do. And then one's what top five, and then another one we're just going to kind of BS about. But, and actually, I'm going to add this to the list as well for scary moments right now. The Red Sox have bases loaded, two outs, a 2-0 count on Victorino against Fozzie Bear Hair, Waka Waka. So let's see if this ends up being scary. Huh?
No score?
No, nothing in the third. Both teams have had guys on. And chances, and they haven't come through. But Victorino, of course, has hit some big grand slams this year. And they even just showed highlights of 08 when he hit one off CeCe in the division series with Philly. So we'll see how scary this moment ends up being for us. But why don't you tell us the number six scariest wrestling moment?
Number six. I go back to 1991 when The Ultimate Warrior was being harassed by one Papa Shango, complete with glow-in-the-dark puke.
Yeah, so there was a lot here. Of course, he had made the black tar come down his head and his hands. He lit the jobber's feet on fire. Remember that? He was making the jobber get sick. Needed some of the Gene, too. Wasn't Gene sweating the tar as well? A couple of guys had the tar come down.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he put the curse on Warrior, and Warrior got sick and vomited, and Victorino just hit a double off the wall.
Oh, boy.
Bases clearing, so 3-0.
Oh, boy.
That's game right there.
Yeah, that could be it. Cheapest ticket tonight, I think, was StubHub and a couple other websites. Cheapest ticket tonight, like out in the bleachers, was $750. So.
Yeah, well, they haven't clinched a home World Series since, what, 1918? So
1918. So, yeah, because 04 and 07 were both sweeps, and they had the home field, so they clinched at Busch Stadium, ironically. in St. Louis, and Coors Field in Denver, right? Yeah, 2007. So yep. We'll keep tabs on that as much as we want to.
No, well, I think this is it. Yeah. I really don't see them coming down from 3-0 in Fenway right now.
Yeah.
They need to get on Lackey early and have Waka shut them down.
Waka, Fozzie.
And that was close play at the plate, but he was in. All right, so, yes, Papa Shango, our sixth scariest moment.
At number five, he was in the top five scariest characters, and he's here in a double because he does two creepy things to the same person. And that is, number five, the boogeyman torturing Jillian. And there's two moments in particular. One, of course, is the infamous eating of the mole of the guacamole.
Yes.
Which is incredibly gross. Secondly is when he dumped her with worms.
And they didn't really drop. Was it her that he like spit them in her mouth? Didn't he do that to someone?
Yeah, he did it to Stryker.
Oh, was it him? Okay.
Yeah, he did it to Stryker once.
He just put them on her.
Yeah.
He did a lot of crazy shit. He kind of threatened Charmel. Was that Mania? Then he kind of do something to her or Booker, one of the two of them.
Yeah,
didn't Booker leave her or something? Or did she leave him?
He left her, I think. That was at WrestleMania, what, 20?
22,
yeah.
Yeah, he had a few. The one where he dropped down and sang the song to Donald Trump at Mania, too. Yeah, he had a lot of weird, scary moments. Yeah.
I feel like, wow, he was back. He was there all the way back in 2006. I don't feel like that. I don't feel like it was. But it's true because Jillian was with JBL, so. Yeah, that was weird. That was very weird. All right, so number five on the five-plus scariest moments list was the double whammy that the boogeyman gave to Jillian. Eating her guacamole and dropping worms on her. At number four is the only match on the list.
And this is on here for a couple different reasons.
Yes. Yes. At number four, from Halloween Havoc 1991, the Chamber of Horrors match.
Lots of horrors.
Oof. For many reasons. the match, premise of the match was, I think it was 2 5-man teams, and they were in a cage or a double cage, and inside the cage was an electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of the match was to get one of your opponents into the chair, and then somebody flipped the switch, and electrocute the other guy.
Yep.
The teams were Abdullah the Butcher. It was 4-on-4, actually. Abdul the Butcher, the Diamond Stud, of course, Scott Hall, Cactus Jack, Mick Foley, and Big Van Vader. The babyface team was the Steiner Brothers, Sting, and yes, El Gigante. And match was about 12 and a half minutes. And the original team was supposed to be the babyface team was fine. The original heel team was supposed to be Oz, the Diamond Stud, the One Man Gang, and Barry Windham.
Well, that'd been interesting.
Fucking weirdo team that is.
Who would have gotten electrocuted then? Oz.
Yeah. One Man Gang said in shoot interviews that he was scheduled to take part in the match, but he left the company beforehand. The poster for the event actually has him on it.
Okay.
So. All right. Main event, of course, was Lex Luger defending the WCW world title against Ron Simmons. So what happened was the match is just a total shit show because I don't think anybody really knew what the hell to do, and it was really weird. And what happened was, I believe it Sting was getting put in the chair by Abdullah. Pretty sure it was Sting. Cactus Jack was standing at the switch. And then he turned his head, and while he turned his head, Sting...
No, it was, wasn't it Rick Steiner?
Steiner?
He, like, belly-to-bellies him into the chair.
That's right. I had a feeling it wasn't Sting. I thought it was, but... Okay, so Rick Steiner and Abdullah are fighting at the chair. Rick Steiner belly-to-bellies Abdullah into the chair while Cactus's head is turned. Cactus still thinks that Steiner's in the seat, flips the switch, and electrocutes Abdullah, and the good guys win. And that ends up leading to a Abdullah-Cactus feud. Out of that, so Oz, this is real stupid. Oz is pulled out of the. Oz and Cactus Jack apparently swap spots. Cactus Jack was supposed to face Bill Kazmaier, and Oz was supposed to be in the Chamber of
Horrors. Well, maybe they wanted to put Cactus with Abdullah and figured they'd rather job Oz out than Cactus, I guess, to Kazmaier. Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course, as the lacrosse player.
Yes. Yes. And there's an even scarier moment in this show.
There is.
Van Hammer took on Doug Summers.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, you know, JR, a memorable moment here. The Halloween Phantom debuted, beat Tom Zenk in 87 seconds. And, of course, the Phantom later revealed to be the debuting Rick Rude.
Yeah, if there was ever one real Halloween Havoc show and one wrestling pay-per-view theme, to me, this 91 is like the closest full-on Halloween pay-per-view you get.
Yeah.
They did a lot around surrounding the Halloween theme for that one specifically.
Yep, so there you go. And again, the main event was a 2 out of 3 falls match between Luger and Ron Simmons. But really, we were talking about the Chamber of Horrors match, which is bad for many reasons. Okay. The number 3 PTB Nation, PTB podcast, scariest wrestling moment of all time. We go back to the fall of 1991, about the same time of the year, in the WWF, and the awesome moment on Superstars when Jake the Snake Roberts sicks a cobra onto Randy Macho Man Savage and bites him. And that close up, JR, of him sticking the teeth into the arm, and oh my God, blood coming out.
Yeah, that was pretty screwed up at the time watching that as a kid. I mean, you know, for as much as everyone we always say they were so marketing towards kids at that point, stuff like that makes you wonder because there was some sick shit going on in late 91, into early 92, and a lot of edgy stuff, and that was one of it. I mean, that was really messed up because you didn't know at the time what was going on, venomize, whatever. Just seeing a cobra with fangs biting into a guy's arm, a big fan favorite like Savage at the time. That was tough to stomach, that was just starting everything. You know, that was still to come with Jake smacking Liz and everything else. So.
Oh yeah, and that of course was when the company as a whole was just getting fired up and the roster gets jacked up with great talent, and yeah, it was a big deal. So that's your number 3 moment, scariest moment in wrestling history, mostly WWE history. When the Cobra bites Randy Savage. Guess what? We have another Jake moment. Big shock on this list. Number 2. Actually, two guys making their second appearances. We go to the summer of 1991 was a very scary year.
It was. The mid-91 to like mid-92 was a lot of fucked up stuff going on that
company. Yes, very, very much so.
Very dark.
The moment in which Jake the Snake turned heel, and that is when, of course, he locked the Ultimate Warrior into that den of vipers.
Yes. And actually, you know, I'd like to encapsulate all of the skits into this.
Yes, I agree. Yeah,
buried him alive. What else did he do? There was a couple. Buried him alive, the snakes.
What was the third one? Oh, man. I gotta find out. What was the third one?
It wasn't a casket, right?
No, the casket was the burying. Oh, no, wait a minute. No. Yeah, remember he was supposed to be locked in a cage. Yeah, the burying, he was just standing in a pit.
Right, and then he was buried it up to his head.
Yeah, and he was in a casket.
Yeah.
So.
And that was scary too. We didn't really mention that one. With the when they locked Warrior in the casket, Taker, over the summer of 91. Remember he attacked him on the funeral parlor and locked him in the casket? That was scary too.
Yes, I agree. More Taker involved stuff.
Yeah. Mid 91, right? That was like what kicked it all off. That and Earthquake smashing Damien in the bag. I mean, it was a messed up time period. A lot of evil guys in the WWF in 91.
Yes, great heels.
A lot of sick fucks floating around.
Yes. And but, without question, the number one scariest Halloween moment in PTB podcast.
Well, that didn't surprise me a bit because Lou Albano is a big, fat, sloppy pig.
Should have asked Andy what the number one moment was.
Yes.
I don't know. Yes, of course, the November 1st, 1985, Saturday's main event, a show that we did last year, JR, in the Halloween special.
Yes, we did.
And that was a couple days right after Sandy.
It was.
1 year ago, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, 1 year ago, in the midst of the violence of Hurricane Superstorm Sandy, we did an episode with Kevin Kelly.
Yes, we did. And it was only a couple of days removed about a year ago when I almost got killed by that tree. I want to go back in the archives and find out the date on that. But I came home and we had a freak snowstorm. It was a few days before the hurricane and Halloween. And the tree fell down and almost killed me in the driveway. So
that's right. I forgot about it. Yeah, exactly. You could have been put in the in the electric chair. So there you go. The number one moment of all time, the November 1st, 1985, Saturday Night's Main Event, Halloween special, when Lou Albano won the pie-eating contest from, I don't remember who his opponent was. Was it Piper? No.
No, they had no. It was Bundy.
Bundy,
because he had the Abraham Lincoln shit right. And the beard was getting right. All in the.
And then, and what did Jesse say afterwards when Vince announced the winner?
You mean the clip we just played?
Yeah, I played again. Never heard
it. I'm already off of it now.
Ah, bummer.
Well, that doesn't surprise me one bit. Lou Albano's a big fat sloppy pig.
We figured you'd sound better since you have the gurgled Axl Rose bourbon voice. So. Oh God. I don't know how the hell you're functioning right now.
I'm not. This is a mail-in, baby.
Okay. So there you go. There is your top six scariest moments as voted by the Place to Be podcast. Number six, when Papa Shango got the Ultimate Warrior to puke neon vomit. Number five, the dual boogeyman moments to Jillian. Number four, the Chamber of Horrors match from Halloween Havoc 1991. Number three, when the Cobra bit Randy Savage. Number two, when everything happened to the Warrior because of Jake. And number one, the fat sloppy pig, which was not a costume.
And the real number one is anytime Matt Rotella is on the Place to Be podcast.
Yes. Again, you know, I wonder what happened to that, the guy who told him, that, the guy who told us, that, he never complimented on our good shows. No.
Know, right? we've rarely had him back on ever since he told us never to have him on again.
Yeah. And, does the guy come back? No, he doesn't. So maybe we should. Oh, look at this. Oh, okay. Another guest. Let me get some, let me get some candy here. Okay, open the door.
Trick or treat, smell my feet.
Oh my God, it's Chad Campbell dressed as PN News. Chad, what? How you doing?
Yo, baby, yo, baby, yo.
What happened to the Shockmaster outfit?
The shock wall? Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Chad Campbell, ladies and gentlemen, of course, from Place to Be Nation and Where the Big Boys Play, et cetera, et cetera. What is Parv giving away tonight, do you know? Brad was going to his house. I figured he was giving away, like, Vern Gagne, you know, card stickers. Sets or something.
No, he's having high tea. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Well, welcome to the show, Chad. Good to
How's
have
it
you.
Going, guys?
Good.
Going great. So next up, Chad, we're doing some top five lists. We were going to talk a little bit about best costumes.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, obviously Halloween. Mm-hmm. Costumes are a big deal then. We've already done scariest wrestlers, scariest moments, so we thought we'd go a little bit lighthearted. So let's just bat a few around. We didn't really make a list on this one. Thought we could just hit some. One of my favorites was always Repo Man. I always enjoyed his costume. Not the bootleg one that he broke back out when he returned at like WrestleMania X7. I mean the legit Repo Man one. With the studded jacket. That was one of my favorites. Chad, what's one of yours?
Well, quickly on that, what has happened to poor Repo Man? Because not only does he still have the ghetto bootleg Repo Man costume, but his demolition costume has fell on hard times as well. So he really can't bump up and get a legit costume.
I guess not. They don't make that stuff like they did back in the 80s. That's not as easy to come by.
It's like a Hasbro figure. Well, but my favorite, I think Doink the Clown.
Oh, that's a good
is
one.
A iconic classic costume. Everything from the flower to the jacket to the distinctive face paint to the green hair. Just a great ensemble all around.
What about Pink the Clown?
Oh God. What about Jerry Lawler's midget? Oh wait a minute, those weren't costumes. That was real.
You know what? You know what's
scary?
Real
back hair.
You know what's scary for any of you that are friends with Jordan Duncan on Facebook? All these fucking sheep. Face pictures he keeps putting up.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's got one up right now that's really creepy. This is the scariest shit I've seen. And Scott, I guess, you know, maybe.
Isn't that a church? Is that a trunk or treat at a church?
I think it is. What a creep. you know, maybe we can take a quick sidebar from the costume, Scott, because we were talking about the scariest stuff, and we didn't mention the Wyatt family commercials, the vignettes.
Oh, the vignettes, yes. Very, very creepy. Yes, very creepy.
It's one of the creepiest and scariest stuff we've seen.
Oh, my God. What are your thoughts on Chad? We talked about the great Kabuki. Would you have considered him maybe in his older days in the world class 80, you know, like 79 to 83, what you watched? He was a freaky dude. I mean, he was
a scary dude.
Yeah. Well, definitely scary.
He was like eating his fingers and stuff too.
Yeah. He was
gnarly.
And I thought he was scary because he wasn't actually in shape. He was not the, like, you know, he wasn't like Muda. Muda was in good shape and Jumbo Tsuruta. Like, most of those Japanese guys in the early mid 80s were in good shape, and he really wasn't. And I think that made him even scarier. By the way, did you know that Repo Man actually had the name of his theme song? JR, do you know what the name of Repo Man's theme song was?
Repossess This.
Close. Repossessor Blues.
Oh, it was bluesy. Speaking of bluesy, Mike Karp just went deep. So this is about it right now. 4-0. The cards are cooked, I believe, sir.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I knew they had no chance of winning these games. As much as it kills me for the Sox to win, it is a very good windfall for our good friend and my cousin, Frank Galasso. He's had his fingers crossed for another championship for the city, because he does pretty well at the posters. So.
Yeah, no,
it's been just long enough, too. You know, the other one's kind of outdated now, so hopefully this will help him out a little bit. Mm.
By the way, Chad, Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A-U-R-A-L. What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Vincent's collection there.
Wood and Johnson, who you got running this show?
Yes, they use
Oral Hershiser.
They do a song. They do a song called The Repo Man, and they use video footage of Darso and other wrestlers in live performances.
Nice. And, I'm sorry, it was Stephen Drew, not Mike Karp, that hit the home run.
And Adam Pearce, you know, former NWA world champion, gets heckled by fans who call him Repo Man because they say he looks like Barry Darso.
Yeah, he does kind of look like Barry Darso.
Oh, man.
So, you know why his demolition outfit is so ugly, Chad, is because, you know, they went to Chikara. That's why.
Well,
they have nice costumes. Isn't that the whole point of that promotion, is our costumes? Isn't that... all right, I don't think we can talk about costumes. I'll talk about Macho Man. Right? I mean, not maybe technically costume, but his garb was always very colorful. And I feel like whenever I think wrestling costumes or gear, like, I always just picture him in all his robes. If you can talk about the 80s and 90s robes, early 90s, and then you get into the really garish stuff from like 92, 93, 94, the coats and the streamers and everything else going on.
Even in like 96, when he was wearing like the black and white, once he became NWO, with the Madness kind of tank top with the shreds and then the pants and all that, that was still a cool ensemble look.
What about who else had some creepy outfits back in the day? How about when Ricky Steamboat came back in 91 with the bad robe head thing or whatever, the cape or whatever that lizard thing was?
Yeah, those Justin's gonna be pissed in a minute.
I'm watching. I see it. Yeah. I'm over it. It's done. I didn't think at all the Cardinals had any chance if they lost game five.
True. Steamboat has kind of a weird trajectory with costumes because, when he came back to the WWF in the 91, he had those weird vignettes and the dragon cape is what you can call it. But then also when he returned to WCW, you know, they put out there where he was wearing that kind of weird dragon mask.
Yeah.
That huge dragon mask that he threw off to.
Like the Chinese New Year kind of head, right? Wasn't that what it was like?
Yeah, I'm still amazed that people were shocked, like, who that was. I mean, it clearly looks like a dragon, and then he takes it off, and, you know, Jim Ross has that call, like, it's Ricky the Dragon. It's like, who do you think was under there, Rick Rude? I mean, you know, like, what do you think?
Skinner. So, Chad, a guy we talked about a few minutes ago also had a crazy costume in that era of NWA, WCW, and that is Oz, the Great and Powerful.
Oh, man.
Yes.
He's a good choice because you have Oz. You have Vinny Vegas, which kind of has a little bit of a unique look. Master Blaster with the haircut.
But Oz, don't forget the Oz debut when he had the big, like, fucking Oz guy with him, or the Oz head, and Kevin Sullivan, wasn't he involved in that or something? He was like
the wizard. He had the wizard and then like a little midget, and then and then he was the old face, so he took his face off to reveal. I still can't understand. I don't get it. I don't know what that means.
Oh boy, so many good costumes out there. Bastion Booger, Friar Ferguson,
Fantasio.
Yeah, Shango's a good one.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool ensemble. I mean, iconic. I mean, that's the guy where he had a lot of gimmicks. I mean, even The Good Father and The Godfather after that, he's kind of evolved throughout the years, but he's had a lot of good get-ups with his various gimmicks.
How about Fantasio?
Yes, Fantasio, I believe. But
Fantasio.
Yes, he had never really made it very far, but he had a pretty good look.
Mm-hmm. July 16th, 1995, episode of Wrestling Challenge, JR.
How about making...
And he... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was about to say, and he also, Chad, wrestled in the first ever, the first TNA broadcast on June 19th, 2002. He wrestled as Del Rios.
Alberto.
Yes. Essentially a ripoff of Scott Steiner's character. So,
what about Making a Difference Fatu?
Oh, yes. That jacket was so scary.
Yes. I didn't say I'd have a scary costume. There's going to be a couple more missing. Who we got? The
Berserker. Goldust.
Oh, Goldust, obviously.
Goldust is a very good one.
Kisarni?
Kisarni, yes.
I would say...
Mordecai?
All these guys have barely, you know, it seems to be a running thread throughout all these suggestions. Guys that never really made it very far.
Great Survivor Series team.
I thought Mordecai had a good look. I thought he could have done something. Then they buried him with that jobber squash that went like 12 minutes on that first pay per view, and that was it.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you one guy that kind of had a little bit of an interesting look in a couple of gimmicks that he had is your old friend El Gigante.
Oh, well, look at this, Chad. Wow. Chatting too much. Let's see what we can who's got a nice costume on now.
Trick a motherfucking treat, you assholes. I was walking through the neighborhoods and I heard my name echo throughout the house windows. Who is this Southern hick jabroni you have on with you, Mr. Crispola?
El Gigante, happy holidays.
No, I'm El Gigante.
I know, I'm saying hi to you.
Hello.
Welcome back. It's been a while since we've had you on.
I've been touring the world continuously, looking for the best HGH in the game. I wanted to stay as young and hip and virile as possible. I've been chosen to take on Apollo Creed in a boxing match, so I need to get the top of my games.
Well, interesting. This is Chad Campbell.
And Mr. Crispola, you know, you may hear that steroids are shrinking balls, but when you have balls as big as mine, it doesn't matter. You can afford to lose a few inches.
Well, here's the thing, El Gigante.
They still fit in your mouth.
We mentioned you earlier on tonight because you were in one of the scariest moments in the history of wrestling. Tell us a little bit about that memorable Chamber of Horrors match.
Vulture picked up my head against the Undertakers?
No. This is when you were in that cage with Abdullah the Butcher and Cactus and.
Oh, and that mentally challenged man that threw me into the chair.
Yes, the mentally challenged man. Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay, all of them. The Ted Turners. It was a good time. I mean, I had just come off a great game with the Hawks. I put up 20-17 against Michael Jordan's, and then I went right into that match and dominated and electrified Abdullah the Butchers, and then made him eat all my chicken and Chinese food. Mr. Crispo, you never answered who is with me here.
This is our good friend, Mr. Chad Campbell. He is
the soup man.
I do call him soup. That
he
is
makes the soup.
I don't know if he... do you make soup, Chad?
I did claim when I was a kid that I was an ancestor, I was on the ancestry of Campbell's soup.
I see. He's
I didn't realize this is the Wikipedia show. Can we continue to talk about the wrestlings?
So, Gigante, tell us a bit about what you've been doing. It's been, tens and tens of episodes since you've been on last. What have you been doing with yourself?
Well, what I do with myself in the provinces of my own trailer is up to me, Mr. Crispola. But I've been, searching the HGH. I was trying to get into the movie business. And then somebody saw me working out at a club. A guy, a big black bald guy came up to me and said, "Would you like to fight Apollo Creed?" And I said, "Okay, I got to work out. I've been drinking raw eggs and doing the HGH, and I'm ready to go."
Well, you're looking very healthy. You're looking well. How is your second fiction book coming along?
It's fine, but the problem is when I was doing the research, I was Googling my name, and I came across some derogatory things being said about me on other shows, Mr. Crispola.
Well, look, Gigante, you and I have... the water's completely under the bridge. No one says
it wasn't you,
about...
was it? Talking bad about me.
No, of course it was not. It was not me, Gigante. Those days are long past.
Mr. Soupface, do you know anything about this?
Scott, I think it was Parv.
Who's the perv?
He's Chad's co-host on a great podcast called Where the Big Boys Play.
There's only one place where the Big Boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bed.
Let me ask you something. I prefer to hang off the edges.
Deontay,
he wanted to know if you ever wrestled in the AWA.
The what?
The American Wrestling. Did you ever wrestle in Minnesota?
I don't know where that is, sir, so no.
Okay, it's a very cold place, and you're sure you're not
Mr. Campbell, what's this perv man saying about me?
Well, hate to bring it to you, Elegante, but he's not too complimentary. He was talking about you letting the Horseman attack Sting, talking about your tenure as a dude with attitude.
But that was the perfect compliment. You had the Horseman versus the Horsecock. It fit perfectly. Is that what perv wants to talk shit about to me? He's jealous of my Horseman cock.
Yeah. He's not looking forward to your in-ring debut coming up.
I'm not looking forward to his in-ring debut. Well, Mr. Campbell, you tell this piece of shit, I'm guessing he's a limey with that stupid name, you tell that piece of shit to go back to England and mind his business, and if I hear him talking about me one more time, I'm gonna show up, and I'm gonna cut his man penis off, and, feed it to the pigs that roam around behind my trailer.
Alright, I'll let him know. I don't want any trouble.
And my match with Sid Vicious is the greatest match of all time.
If you say so.
Waka waka, motherfucker! Cardinals suck. Go Red Sox. Ah!
That was a surprise.
Just like that, he's gone.
That's a pretty tall-ass motherfucker to be trick-or-treating.
Yes, it's ducking under the trees.
I don't think he can pass for a kid. No, especially with that hairy ball suit he was wearing. This little man suit there. But yeah, I mean, El Gigante's outfits, as I mentioned it, I guess his ears were burning. But as we're going through the shows, he's dressed first as like some weird Blade Runner 2000-ish kind of gladiator, and then Giant Gonzalez, I think, speaks for itself, that outfit. So definitely, I don't know if it's a great costume, but certainly a memorable one.
I think Waka Waka Motherfucker is going to be one of my new catchphrases. I like that he broke out. That was good. I wonder if it's about Fozzie Bear or about the Cardinal. Hang on. What? Chad, why don't you want to get the door? You're closest to it.
Okay, let me open up the door here.
Oh my lord! Ludwig Borga! Come to trick or treat with us here tonight!
Hello, Mr. Rosado.
Oh, it's been so long, Mr. Borga! 2 years, I think it's been since we've heard from you.
It is a pleasure to be here. Who is this gentleman? I had never seen him before.
This
Who
is my you? Good friend, Mr. Chad Campbell, co-host of the Where the Big Boys Play and the Brad and Chad Show, and the assistant to the managing editor at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Very nice. That's nice. Listen, have you seen El Gigante, my good friend? Have you seen him?
Haven't seen him.
Well,
haven't seen him.
We were going to a...
Haven't seen him.
We were going to a party, and Missy Hyatt was dressing as one of the Spice Girls, and he wanted to go. And then he ran off and heard his name, something about electric chairs and dirty Sanchez's, I don't know. But I saw you, your light on. I wanted to come and say hello and meet Mr. Campbell and see what was going on here. How have you been? How has everyone been here?
We've been good. What kind of candy have you gotten so far tonight?
A lot of herring, and somebody was passing out fish earlier, and somebody else gave me a Vern Gagne playing card. I don't even know who Vern Gagne is. Old looking, I don't know who he is anyway. But anyway, I'm going to leave, but you continue on. Good luck with your show, and you, Mr. Campbell, pleasure to meet you. And I need to find Giante, because now Missy Hyatt's running around dressed like Sporty Spice. I don't understand. Have a pleasant evening. Goodbye.
See you, Ludwig.
Always nice to hear from our good friend, Mr. Borga.
Oh, man.
Is that Ludwig Borga? Wow.
What a cameo.
We should have had D'Amato on, I think. He's going to be around here somewhere with Borga and Gante are involved.
Yeah, wow. It's like turn back the clock night.
As long as Fran Beja doesn't show up.
He's their driver.
No, please. We don't speak of his name around anymore.
Or Derek LaRue.
No, that's even worse. Or Matt Rotella. Talk about Chamber of Horrors. Let's have some other interesting costumes. Who had some other nice Vader, the cool original Vader.
Yeah, the original
Vader. The big head and the Vader the mask. But do you remember he had like the big white furry cape and the big mask? That was kind of cool.
I guess
Halloween wise, Chikara is like that's like Halloween every day of the year pretty much, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean they have a ton of it's I mean their gimmicks are all kind of mask and very lucha oriented. I mean lucha is a whole nother genre too. I mean La Parca, their costumes, they actually have a wrestler named Halloween. You have El Hijo del Santo. So just there's a ton of great costumes. Even Mystico, you know, had a very cool setup and costumes down there. So lucha is probably actually your best. I mean, I guess it goes without saying Rey Mysterio too. We haven't brought him up, but he has a variety of costumes, including when he was wearing the little devil horns. But he also has all the superhero costumes. So he's certainly had probably the most wide variety of costumes. I would consider Ric Flair too, just with his robes, because.
Sure. I agree.
I think they're very, I guess, regal-esque, and if you're not typically a wrestling fan and you see somebody like Ric Flair with all his robes and ensembles, he definitely looks like what you think a professional wrestler might look like. So. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the other Lucha guys, too, from WCW, and I know a lot of them from Mexico as well, but if we're just kind of keeping to our world here, like La Parca and oh God! What was the other one I had just had in my head? Bismarck,
Psychosis,
yeah, Psychosis,
Ciclope,
Bismarck. No, wasn't Bismarck? Wasn't that
Lizmark?
Lizmark. No, who's the other guy? I'm getting confused with
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota, and he came out.
He dressed like the rapper, and he's just a friend.
No, who was the? God, the guy with the fucking he had like a backwards hat. No, not El Dandy. He was
Super Kalo.
Super Kalo.
No, there was another.
Super Kalo was the guy that had the hat that never fell off.
I thought they brought a guy in that like wrestled like for the title like one time in like 97 or something. It wasn't like El Bismarck or something like that.
It's not El Bismarck.
Luchadors from the Pacific, from the north, north central part of the country.
Blitzkrieg.
That's what I'm thinking of. Thank you. I knew something German.
That was 1999.
Okay. Blitzkrieg. I knew there was something like that. Something German related.
Now he programs your computer.
Otto van Bismarck.
His name is Jeremiah Ross. He's from California, but he was billed from the cosmos.
Yes, we all are. Speaking of the cosmos, Max Moon. It's another good costume, too.
There we go.
And then, I mean, I guess The Undertaker and Mankind, I think they definitely, I mean, both Dude Love and Mankind and Cactus Jack even has its own kind of distinctive. I like those where different the same person has been able to kind of have different personas and gimmicks and the costumes transferred over for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the ones that we mentioned before, Darso, was pretty much the king of that. And how about, of course, we have to mention Prince Karras. I think we talked about him with Scott Hudson. You know, was he one of the global guys or whatever, the big fucking mummy?
The Yeti?
Yes, the Yeti. There you go. The Yeti.
The Yeti.
There's a lot of good ones.
Zodiac?
Zodiac, yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, Brutus is a whole other character, too. I mean, think about how much gimmicks he's worked out between the Disciple and everything else, the Booty Man.
Akeem, One Man Gang. A lot of them.
That's true, yeah.
All right, well, I think we could be here all night, so we're going to toss you out, Mr. Campbell. Get back on the road. It's getting late. Get some more candy while you can. And, Scott, why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll do some more trick-or-treating of our own. And then we will do some quick NFL picks, and we'll head on out of here.
Okay. But first, a word. Because?
Because.
Because.
Chad never does it.
You already kicked me out.
Oh, shit. Well, you're still here.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What I'd like to have right now.
Chad, do you ever feel that the world revolves around WWF?
I think you mean WWE there, Barf.
Yeah, whatever, but what about David Crockett?
He likes it! He likes it! He likes it!
Well, what about Jimmy Valiant?
I'm gonna get you all until I get you, Paul Jones.
Ooh. The Four Horsemen.
We are a family, and we are the best.
The Omni, the Dangerous Alliance.
Please welcome the newest members of the Dangerous Alliance, Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko.
Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
The Fantastics are putting the U.S. Tag Team title on the line against the Midnight Express.
Main events with actual work rate in them.
Woo! 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 All right!
It's just not fair to Flair.
It's not fair for Flair.
If this is what you're looking for, please check out Where the Big Boys Play podcast, the only pure NWA and WCW supercard podcast out there.
While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunder Lips, I was winning world titles.
Well, there they are, our good friends Chad and Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. Now, if you want nonstop old school NWA discussion, getting back to that very first Starrcade, these guys have it covered. Even the PICs have made an appearance once. We are very particular what podcasts we visit. So check out our friends Chad and Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. Their link is right on our site, placetobenation.com. Just go into the podcast menu. And there they are, the other great shows we partner with. Chad and Parr, working Where the Big Boys Play. Speaking of Place to Be Nation, that's your everyday home for your pop culture needs. At placetobenation.com, we have everything. Wrestling, sports, comics, even polls. We want your opinions as well. Every day there's something different with our top staff of writers who are experts in all fields of pop culture. From the weekly Raw review to the return of the hack, you've got everything you need. We're also working with a myriad of great podcasts, of course, besides Chad and Parr. We have Grapple Talk, the fans podcast, Off the Top Rope, Answering the 10 Count, We Found New Music, and The Kings of Sport with Nate Milton. We've got everything for your listening pleasure. So check us out every day of the week at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Now, don't forget about our good friend Graham Cawthon and the history of WWE.com. He's still the top source for all argument solvers, from match results to house show cards to pay-per-view histories. Any questions you need answered, any debates among wrestling fans that need ending, head over to Graham's treasure trove of information. You will certainly find it. Need to know what the opener of Starrcade 1995 was? What was the main event of that 1988 Boston Garden house show you went to when you were 11 years old? Graham can tell you. He has WWE, WCW, ECW results, and the growing results in TNA and Ring of Honor. So for all your wrestling research needs, check out Graham Cawthon at thehistoryofwwe.com. Now finally, if you want a place to just hang out, discuss all things wrestling with fellow diehard fans, check out the news and the great forums at twfnews.com. They have all the up-to-the-minute stories in WWE, TNA, and pretty much everywhere in between. They talk old school, Attitude Era, and even those hard-to-remember guys and shows like Waylon Mercy or In Your House Number 3. So check out all there is to see right on twfnews.com.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly, longtime announcer with the WWE, now the voice of Ring of Honor Wrestling. No better place to be than right here on the Place to Be podcast. Make sure you tune in every week.
Manager Harvey Lemmings. Werewolf bar mitzvah. Spooky
scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves. I just don't think this, the idea of the song can sustain itself for that long. It seems a little sweaty now, so this whole premise is sweaty. We had a reception at the Loch Run Country Club. They served a real nice brisket and an 8-foot party sub. I danced with my cousins, I got money from my folks. We had a lot of fun making circumcision jokes. Then I remembered the premise of my song. I was at a nice reception, but the werewolf part was gone. So we pulled ourselves together and we're wolfmen again. Just in time for monster fight to begin. All the country club employees were brain-sucking packed. We had all turned into zombies and were on the attack. So we fought them and some Draculas and Frankensteins too. Cause you gotta love bar mitzvah even if you're not an artist.
Well, it's now becoming our yearly tradition, werewolf bar mitzvah, Scott Griscola. I kind of picture that's what your bar mitzvah was like.
Yes. My bar mitzvah, yeah, right. 8-foot sub, yeah.
Well, I think that's the problem you have. That's the piece you object to, the 8-foot sub, of all the things that go along with a bar mitzvah.
Well, the circumcision jokes.
Okay. Well, who would have an 8-foot party sub at a bar mitzvah? That song is completely implausible.
Who would put ham in there?
Like they would spring for the 8-foot party sub. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yearly tradition as well is, of course, the trick-or-treating that we do here, Scott.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is I have 8 2013 newsmakers I'm going to read to you, and you're going to tell me if they should get a trick or a treat.
Okay.
So let's go right with the first one here. Not actually. Maybe a little. Another guest.
Let's see.
Trick or treat.
Hey, it's Steve Willie dressed as Sting. He's dressed as Sting. Steve Willie, how you doing?
Doing good. I got my Sting costume on. It's half from the lead singer Police and half 97 Crow Sting.
Nice. I like it. So, Steve, while you're here schlepping around for candy, would you like to join us for a little trick or treat game?
I would enjoy that.
Oh, that would be great.
Guys, so I got some music queued up here, a little fitting theme song. A little Papa Shango music. All right. Number one on the list. I'll start with you, Scott, with John Cena. Trick or treat.
Trick. He got his redemption, quote unquote, at WrestleMania, but then went through some boring feuds in the summer. Successfully jobbed at Daniel Bryan and then came back from the life-threatening elbow fluid surgery to end a great run by a great heel, and now he's, you know, back to cutting crappy promos. Trick for John Cena.
What do you say, Willie?
I'm going to go a mild trick. He's just wildly inconsistent all over the place this year. You know, the Daniel Bryan match was excellent, but as you said, you know, just coming back right now with, you know, from the 2-month surgery, quote-unquote surgery, and, you know, just kind of goofy all year round in the beginning of the year. Just, yeah, wildly inconsistent, I'd say.
I like a mild trick, so we're just kind of a little gentle rib we give him.
A little ding-dong ditch action.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Willie, why don't you kick this one off? LeBron James.
LeBron James, treat. You know, he's finally gotten past all of this, you know, not being able to win at the end, not being able to come through, which is kind of, you know, hokey to begin with. It takes more than one man to win an NBA title. And, you know, I think people are finally off his back now.
Scott?
Oh, I'd have to say treat. You know, back-to-back NBA championships is nothing to sneeze at. And I agree with Steve that he kind of shook off the decision funk. And is the king of the mountain right now in the NBA. So, definite treat.
All right, Scott, you can kick this one off. The 3-hour Raws.
Wow. If you had asked me this 6 months ago, I'd have definitely said trick. But I have to admit, as I've been writing them and reviewing them both for our old message board and for Place to Be Nation, they have learned to kind of streamline the show where it doesn't seem overly long. They have utilized the time for matches more now. And less pro. I mean, there are some stinkers some Mondays, but lately it hasn't been that bad. It's been fairly consistent. So I will say that it started the year as a trick, but has, if you ask me right now, I would definitely say it has become a treat.
So it's like a weak treat, like a raisinette or something.
Yes, you know, yeah.
They get a candy.
That's a floss.
The big orange peanut, you know. It's a treat, but it's nothing good.
unwrap circus peanuts. Yes.
Yes. All right, Steve, what do you think?
We're going to have to go to you on this one. I'm going to say Trick. I cannot watch 3-hour show every week. And I think that's where they lose some people. You know, I got a family. I'm not going to give up an entire Monday night to watch the show. And one thing that I don't hear talked about that much, they say all the time that, you know, the Vince didn't want the 3 hours. But, you know, they overrun every single week. And it goes about 3 hours 10, 3:15. You know, pay-per-view only goes 2:45.
Yeah.
It's longer than a pay-per-view. So a pay-per-view actually seems easy to watch compared to a Raw. So I just can't put that time in. There's maybe I'll catch, you know, an hour or so here or there, but I happen to read Scott's recap instead.
There you go. Look at that plug stepping up. Excellent. Here, PTB well Nation done, brethren.
There you go.
All right, Willie, kick us off with this one. Dixie Carter.
Oh, didn't agree on that one. We're going to have to hear what you have to
oh,
say.
Oh, right. Oh,
yeah, you have to break the tie.
I'm so excited to get to the next one. That's a tough one. See, it's tough for me to gauge because I don't really watch it because we're recording, so I don't have to sit through it later like Scott does. So, I'll say treat just because I don't mind having it on in the background for 3 hours. It gives me something to watch on Monday nights while we record. I think I'd be singing a different Canary song if I had to sit there and actually monitor the entire episode for 3 hours. So, in my particular situation, I'll say treat, but for everyone else in the world, I will say trick. All right, Willie, Dixie Carter.
Oh, gosh. And I'm new to Dixie. I would say Trick, especially based on her on-screen character. She's shrill. She's annoying. She's just interfering right now. I really, really hope for everyone's sake, but also my sake, if I'm going to be recapping this, that they can as I said during the live blog with Scott, that, you know, this is like a turning point, no pun intended, for them, and they're going to get rid of some of the high-paid, overpaid guys and focus them on their younger talent.
Scott?
No doubt. I agree, Steve. A complete trick. She is unbelievably irritating, and obviously she's not running the company very well either. Sell and walk away. Definite trick. She needs to turn tricks. when she's done here.
That's rough. All right, Scott, next up we have, of course, your boy. The game, the CEO, Mr. Hunter Hess Helmsley, Triple H.
He's a treat every day of my life. I gotta say, he's a treat. I enjoy him as a heel. I don't care that other people don't find, you know, may think he's annoying, overbearing. I think he's a great heel. I think he's put over the faces successfully. I think he's gotten the job done. You know, his promos cause controversy, but it keeps people talking. He's not being ignored. His wife could go the way of Dixie, though. But definite treat.
I hate that I'm going to have to say this. A treat. I have not liked Triple H for many years, you know, for the usual reasons, as everyone says, and I won't need to rehash him. But I do think in this role that he has really brought something to the product. I want Brian to knee him in the face. I really do. And he's trolling. He's trolling a lot of people who are watching the show and who are, you know, the quote-unquote IWC. Like the other day when he's mentioning Jericho, RVD, and Edge, could he pick three more, you know, well-loved superstars to quote-unquote put down? And that was obviously, you know, something that was tongue-in-cheek. And he's kind of miserable. I actually like the little sit-down fireside chats that he was having with Michael Cole for a while on .com. They were recapping a little bit of him on Main Event, and they're pretty good. Just kind of a different role for him, and I actually enjoy it.
All right, you guys are pretty in sync so far, other than that one. All right, Willie, I'm going to give you this one, even though it's more geared towards Scott, because it launched a big argument on our NFL preview, and that is Cam Newton. When we last talked about Cam Newton, Scott seemed to have some empirical evidence that his teammates in the world hated him and that they were going to have a lot of trouble, but he's actually kind of turned the corner. Ron Rivera's kind of turned the corner, and the Panthers are winning, Steve Willie. Would you give Mr. Cam Newton a trick-or-treat?
I'm not a big Panthers guy. I will give him a treat as he is the last couple weeks really helped the Panthers, and they're really quietly becoming a wild card contender. You know, as you know, Bears, Panthers, a couple other teams in there, and Bears, you know, trending way downward right now without Cutler. So I would say a treat. They're kind of been a quiet success story.
All right, Scott.
I would have to say a treat as well. Seems now in his third year in the league, he's turned the corner. He's kind of learned now that this is a team game, and he's his teammates have actually started to rally around him now. So good for Cam, and good for
the
Panthers.
How you're still clinging to it. This is still your reasoning.
I hear he used to snap the towels all the time at people, and you know people don't like that in the locker room. You know, that's kind of college football stuff.
The reason it annoys me, JR, is you like evidence, and I have an article. I gave it to you, and you think I like fucking made it up. And I didn't. It was the truth. When he was a rookie, he was inherently disliked.
A rookie? That was like 3 years ago. And now you're like...
I'm changing it now. Why are we still talking about it?
Because we're wrapping the year. We're wrapping the first 10 months of the year.
Yeah, and now he's in his third year. His teammates have kind of, you know, he's kind of learned his lesson. His teammates have banded around
him. I guess my point is I think that happened before this year, and you were harping on it in the...
Well, who cares when it happened? The point is it happened now.
Well, that kind of...
That kind of what?
This is Campbell's fault. He put this on the list.
The point is he's whatever has happened in the past when he was a rookie and he was filled, he was entitled, is gone now. They're winning. They're playing good football. I mean, they're not great. I mean, they still have a lot of issues, but he is playing pretty well. They have a great defense.
I heard he took the team out for pizza after the game, and that really turned the tide in his favor.
Glad it did. You know, I wouldn't.
No ice cream, though, because he didn't want to get a little too confident.
No. He made a mistake. He should take him out for barbecue. Yes. In Charlotte, for Christ's sakes, and get some barbecue.
He should have went to the drive-thru liquor store.
The drive-thru liquor store? He would have paid for a new thing on wheels.
Trip to the trailer.
But no, definitely a treat. He's definitely matured as a player, and the team is rallying around him. Good for Ron Rivera. You know, he's in a tough division, sadly, but. But they definitely could be in the hunt when we get into, you know, as we're getting into November, into December. They definitely could be in the hunt for the wild card. So definitely a treat for number one.
I still think you're way off.
I don't know why we're still talking about it. I think you just like to hear yourself talk is what I think.
What are your thoughts on Josh Freeman leaving Tampa? No.
Greg Schiano's an ass, but.
Yeah. No, the Panthers, I agree with what Steve said, too, that I do think they are kind of surprisingly in the playoff mix right now. And, there's always one team that kind of comes out of nowhere and gets into the mix. So, all right, Willie, I'm going to go back to you for this one. We're going to turn to the world of music. One of the big names that made a lot of waves this year is, of course, Mr.
Everybody get up.
Mr. Robin Thicke with this red-hot hit song. And then, of course, all the nonsense of Miley Cyrus and all that crap. But would you give Mr. Robin Thicke a trick or a treat?
Let's talk the Thicks. I want to be Alan Thicke.
You're trying to get into the open, aren't you, with that? Let's talk the Thicks.
Let's talk the Thicks. I'm a therapist. I want that room off my house on the first floor in the Seaver house.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I want that.
A hot wife.
Yeah, Joanna Curran, she's gorgeous. I don't know about Kirk Cameron as a son, but you know.
Well, you got to worry about all the. You get the hair on the podcast with Scott, but you got to worry about all the preaching and everything from Kirk.
Sure, sure.
The end of days.
Let's just talk growing pains for a while.
Okay.
Julie McCullough or who was the second one? You know who he ended up marrying in real life. Kirk Cameron.
Oh, they meant Robin Thicke, and then I think meant Alan Thicke. I was so confused for a minute. We were going in circles. he didn't marry Candace Cameron, did he?
No, that would have been
that's
awkward.
His sister.
She married Pavel Bure, right?
Yeah, Pavel Bure did marry Kirk Cameron, and then
Cameron.
Robin Thicke.
I'm so confused.
Kirk Cameron's wife is Chelsea Noble.
Okay.
Yes, and she was on the show at the end.
Chelsea Lately.
Julie McCullough, who they kicked off.
Oh, Julie. Yes, Julie. Julie was hot. Oh,
yeah, God. But that's why he kicked her off, because he thought she was too risque for the show.
Yeah, she was in Playboy, and then they kicked her off.
That's right. What an idiot he is. But no, Candace Cameron's married to a hockey player, isn't she? Isn't it Bure? I saw her on some commercial the other day, and she had Bure as her last name.
Yes. Yes, she's married
to... Is it Pavel or the other one?
Candace Cameron Bure. She is married to...
Isn't there a pair
Valeri of... Bure.
Larry?
Valeri.
Fred Kitau?
Kitau! No, Valeri Bure.
Larry Bure.
He's the younger brother of Pavel. Fred Bure?
Larry Bure, star hockey player.
Which I'm trying to formulate in my head now. Very nice, Mr. Chris Polo.
All right, Willie, trick or treat for the Thix.
Robin Thicke, you know, trick. He's a gimmick. I think he's about as old as I am. He hasn't really done anything. And, you know, Miley's obviously in a odd place right now. She's also pretty intelligent because her music is selling like hotcakes right now.
Yeah, right.
After all this publicity. But, you know, she got all the bad rap for the MTV thing, and he's, you know, the one sitting there on top of her, you know, kind of dominating a little bit. Why didn't he get a little bit of the bad rap? But
I think we need to do like a monthly Dr. Drew-esque segment with Dr. Willie on here, just analyzing different celebrity actions. I like it. He's the one that had her in the dominant position, Scott.
Totally. He's totally bent her over, and yeah, why doesn't he get anything? And he's got that awful suit.
Let's talk the Thix. All right, Scott, quick. Trick or treat for the Thix.
Treat, because he was, you know, the Thix. He went from growing pains to
back pains.
To diabetes machinery commercials. Yes. Yes.
Groin pain, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Works with Nicki Minaj. So, treat.
All right. One more, Scott. We'll start with you. Mm-hmm. And this is a pretty big one for our year here in 2013, of course.
I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday.
Now, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, Mr. Chris Cole, I don't know what will. Of course, WrestleMania weekend, a big part of Place to Be Nation and the podcast here. Trick or treat for WrestleMania weekend, Scott.
Oh, my God. One of the greatest treats ever from the $15 beers at TGI Fridays to the guy who was telling me I was too internet for Ring of Honor to to you and Chad giggling at 4 o'clock in the morning. To
Steve, would you ever consider Scott too internet for Ring of Honor?
I don't even know what that means.
The guy... Keep your reviews to yourself. The guy was going to eat me. Jesus. I'm going to tell him to pull his pants up. Christ. And then, of course, that Sunday was, they have the Hall of Fame. And then that Sunday, of course, the awesome tailgate, meeting everybody, and of course, capping off with a pretty good WrestleMania. So, yeah, a 3-day treat, in my opinion. And an easy ride home. That was the best part. Great weekend. Huge treat.
This is like... you know, coming home and your sister gets the king-size Reese's peanut butter cup and you get a bunch of Tootsie Rolls. So a treat just because, but I'm jealous that I wasn't involved. But, you know, this year, later, 2014, Royal Rumble.
Yes, sir. You will be involved in that. We're going to talk a lot about that. We'll have a big preview, I think, leading into that with a bunch of guys on and a recap. Just how about the show itself, Steve, since you weren't there, obviously. Trick or treat for this year's WrestleMania.
Oh, I thought it was a treat. This is actually one of the first years in a long, long time that I've been paying attention to the pay-per-views. I have a friend who's been ordering them quite frequently, and so I've seen almost all of them. And I enjoyed it. Is it the greatest WrestleMania of all time? No, but it from top to bottom, it was a decent show.
All right, well, that'll do it for our trick or treat for 2013. Steve Willie, we're going to push you out the door and head you back to the neighborhood to keep trick or treating. Well, thank you for spending some time with us, though.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's always a good time, Mr. Willie.
Treat, Steve.
Come back anytime.
Yes.
We'll see you at Thanksgiving. They'll talk about the Thix. All right, Scott, why don't we just quickly go through our picks here, and then we'll wrap this shit up because I'm about ready to pass out. So Thursday night action, we have those stupid Bengals, Houdet going up against Miami Dolphins in Miami. This seems like a major letdown game for me for Cincinnati. But Miami choked away a big lead in New England. You've got to kind of wonder where their psyche's at, and the Bengals are playing with a lot of confidence. So I'll take the Bengals here, but this has kind of got the upset flag up for me.
It is very scary, I concur, after a great performance on Sunday. This could be one where they trip up. I don't think so, though. I like the Bengals.
All right, Kansas City going into Buffalo. No news or idea who's going to start for Buffalo. Could be a Tool Time. It could be Thaddeus Lewis. Could be Matt Flynn, so I'm going to take Kansas City because all those guys combined, I think at the same time, probably wouldn't beat them. So.
Yes, no, Chiefs to 9-0.
All right. Dallas at home for Minnesota. I got to think they bounce back here and win this game. Minnesota is just not very good. It would take, I think, a pretty Herculean effort out of, I guess it's Freeman or Ponder, whoever's starting for Minnesota.
Ponder. It's going to be Ponder.
Yeah, I like Dallas here.
Yeah, I think they'll rebound. I think they'll be fine. The Minnesota offense won't bend the Cowboy defense as bad as Detroit did. That was just putrid.
No, definitely
not. But the Cowboys will win.
Jared Allen's still there, though. Are you surprised he didn't get traded?
I am. I wish the Cowboys had him. He'd be perfect right now. They need a big, nasty lineman.
Well, I thought for sure Denver would get him. I mean, Denver needs him bad. I mean, they need a pass rush like the Zone Morrow. That was a perfect fit for them.
Yeah, the one thing the rest of the AFC's happy the Cowboys did was be the first to really expose that very substandard secondary. And the pass rush is still okay for Denver. We'll get to them in a minute. But, the Cowboys should bounce back and beat the Vikings.
All right. New Orleans going into the Jets here. The reason I thought that Cincy game was big for the Jets because of this one, even if they go into the bye at 4-5, it's still better than anyone expected, especially with the back end of their schedule. But, this is a very Jets game, so it would not surprise me at all if they won, here. Get blown out, the doors blown off against Cincy, and they come here and shock everyone, beat New Orleans. But I'm going to take the Saints. I think when push comes to shove, they're just obviously the better team. So,
yeah, I agree. I really thought the Jet defense was going to really tighten up and keep the Bengals close, but that didn't happen. And your boy Andy Dalton, who you like to slam on, he played good, and Drew Brees is much better than Andy Dalton. I like the Saints.
Yeah. Okay, Tennessee going into St. Louis. This is my upset pick of the week. I'm going to take the Rams at home. I like their defense seems to be playing well again. Kellen Clemens ain't going to win your minigames. He ain't going to lose them. I got to see Tennessee do something with Locker back here before I take them. So I got to pick an upset. I'll take the Rams.
I'm going to take Tennessee. I like Chris Johnson. I think he'll have a good game. I think they'll play ball control. I think Locker will make minimal mistakes. And I think Clemens I just can't see him scoring points. I like the Titans in the Super Bowl rematch.
All right, San Diego going into Washington. I'm going to take the Redskins here. I thought they played okay against Denver. I mean, Denver's just better than them in all phases of the game, and they hung. San Diego, I could see them maybe coming out a little bit rusty. Now they got to fly cross-country, play at 1 o'clock on the East Coast, coming off that bye. Coming off the big win against Indy, I could see them maybe coming out a little bit flat against the Skins here.
I actually am taking the Redskins, too. I think your RG3 played fine against Denver. I think their defense is just not good, and you know, when you're facing Peyton Manning, when you're not good, when your defense is suspect, what happens, 38 straight points. But I agree with you. I think Phillip Rivers is going to struggle, surprisingly, in this game. And I think it'll be high scoring, and I like the Redskins at home.
All right, Carolina home for Atlanta. I'm going to take the Panthers to stay hot. Their defenses look really good. Cam Newton buying ice cream for the boys. Everyone's happy. So I'm going to take the Panthers at home over the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm taking Carolina, too. I'm a little disappointed in Matt Ryan. You know, 4 picks last week. Things are just falling apart for Atlanta right now. I had him as a wild card. They probably won't even make the playoffs. I like Carolina at home.
All right, Oakland home for Philly. I'm going to take Oakland. Nick Foles is starting, but that team is a mess in Philly right now. They cannot generate any offense, and Oakland's playing a little bit of confidence. Philly's D is terrible, so I can see Terrell Pryor having a big day, probably on the ground.
I like the Raiders, too. They played well last week in beating the Steelers. This carousel of quarterbacks is not doing well for a Chip Kelly offense that's supposed to be about timing and familiarity. I like the Raiders.
All right, Seattle at home for Tampa. This is my lock of the week. Seattle's going to stomp them. They need a bounce-back game after they looked a little bit shaky on Monday night against St. Louis. Tampa, still a fine pass defense, but just not playing well overall right now. And going into Seattle is not a cure for any ills, so I will take the Hawks at home.
This is the perfect elixir for the Seahawks after a major struggle on Monday night against the team they should have blown out. I think they hammered the Bucks in this game big.
Okay. Baltimore going into Cleveland. It's a tricky one. Cleveland's still playing a little gutty. They give a little bit of a game to Kansas City. KC had to pull it out late. I'll take the Browns at home, mainly because I don't believe in Joe Flacco, and they're going to have Hayden out on Torrey Smith. That kind of takes away some of the weapons, and Cleveland's D is still pretty good. So I say Cleveland grinds one out.
I can't. This is weird. We're way too symmetrical this week. I'm actually taking the Browns as well. I think they're going to score. They'll score enough to win. Joe Flacco has been a little off. Ray Rice is not getting the ball as much as he should, and the defense is just not the defense. So I think it'll be a low scoring game, and I think Cleveland ekes it out at home.
All right, New England at home for Pittsburgh. New England looked like they were in trouble in that first half against Miami. They came back and pulled it out. I'll take them to hold serve. Pittsburgh looked like maybe they had their little dead cat bounce for a couple weeks, and now going out to Oakland and shit in the bed in that game. I think they come home and struggle against, or they go into New England and struggle against the Pats.
Are the Patriots the worst 6-2 team in the NFL?
They may, just may be, yes.
They're pitiful, but they're going to win this game. The Steelers have a lot of issues, and they don't get healed this week. I like the Patriots.
All right, pretty much a must-win game in Houston for the Texans. Casey Kasem starting, of course. Casey Keenum starting for Matt Schaub, who's actually healthy but now benched. Indy goes in there. I'm going to take Indianapolis on the road. But this one scares me a little bit if you're a Colts fan, because Houston needs a win bad to have any hope to stay alive and kind of what's a wide open sixth spot for that wild card. So sitting at, what's Houston, 2-6? You know, we can kind of get some maybe back in the conversation a little bit. And, you know, it's a Sunday night. The crowd may be fired up. You know, there's a chance there for Houston. There's a chance. I'm not taking them. I'm not confident about it. But I think there's an opening for Houston to maybe make a statement in that game.
I watched a lot of Case Keenum when I was, you know, at my job, because we aired a lot of Houston games, and he's got a live arm, and he's not a big guy.
He played well that one game he played.
Yeah, I think he'll chuck the ball around, but I like the Colts here. I think I think the defense will tighten up. I think they'll play a complete four quarters. I think Houston will be pumped up. I think the Colts will quell the early momentum, and I think they win the game.
All right, Monday night we're looking at Green Bay at home for Chicago. McCown starting, Cutler still out. I like Green Bay here at home.
I like the Packers, too.
Okay. Baseball update quickly. We are going to the bottom of the sixth. It is 6-0 Boston, so I think you can put this one on ice. Get the duck boats prepared, and another long, annoying year here in New England. So,
and, NJ, well, at least one good thing comes out of it. Well, the Bruins, they're trailing right now, but we do have the Bruins to look forward to this winter, and the Celtics will be bad.
Is that one-on-one? One-to-one? One-on-one. One-to-one in the Bruins game still?
Yes, it is, third period. Quickly, as the NBA season dawned upon us. We had three games last night, games tonight. If you picked an NBA Finals out of your head right now, who would it be?
Well, I was going to pick the Heat, but they lost tonight to Philly, so I don't know anymore. No. I'll take Miami still. I see a lot of people picking Miami and Oklahoma City, but to me, that's, I hate picking one that we just saw. You know, I feel like it never works out that way. I don't know if the Clippers have enough in the tank, Scott.
Hmm.
Who do you like? I mean, you got to go Miami. I think there's no doubt about that.
I think it's going to be an underdog NBA Finals. Brooklyn and Golden State.
Brooklyn and Golden State. Wow. If there's another, I could see Indiana maybe putting it together. They seem to have the formula to know how to beat Miami. I felt pretty good about Chicago, but last night was ugly.
It was bad. It was bad. But I like the Warriors.
Well, no, hey, look, they're gonna. I think they are gonna be good this year. I don't think it's that far off. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'd have to go Oklahoma City or the Clippers, I think, as my two favorites out of the West, and Miami and Indiana as my two East favorites.
I think Jason Kidd's biggest thing is he needs to spread the minutes. I mean, they were playing Cleveland tonight in the opener.
They lost.
They lost. And I think they're going to lose a little bit early because I think chemistry issues and just balancing the minutes. But I think they'll go on a run after the new year and be strong going into the playoffs in the spring.
They get into that pizza parlor. They got to call Cam Newton up.
Yes, exactly. And then he could buy it for a game. Yep.
All right, quickly, just want to give a shout-out. Jeremy Nichols, birthday, November 1st.
Happy birthday.
Of course, our Place to Be Nation staff member, speaking of placetobenation.com. Quick rundown. We have a lot of Halloween stuff going on, not only already posted, but coming up tomorrow. But first, what's already there, Scott? You did a really nice piece, happy birthday celebration to Edge, who surprisingly is the same age as you somehow. I don't understand. He's 40 and you're 40, which is amazing to me. Blows my mind. The Caliber Winfield Super Terrific Happy Hour. Talk about scary. Looked at the entire feud between Triple H and Scott Steiner from 2003. So, he relives that. Scott, I did a little piece breaking down the Ghostbusters music video from 1984.
Sure. That's awesome. That was very good. I enjoyed it.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I intended to make people laugh, so hopefully you
enjoyed
it.
No, it was good. Very fun.
Kings of Sport had an episode up as well, a new one, Titans of Wrestling, looking at January, February 1980. Weber Has Issues, the Halloween special, The Five Spooks of Doom. Some scary stuff from Dustin Nichols all around, but in particular this article. Dixie Carter's Worst Gimmick Matches, TNA's Worst Gimmick Matches. A lot of scary stuff on the site this week. Todd Gessling previewed 10 early stories to follow in the NBA season. Jen Engel and I back with We Missed the 90s. Looked at Clueless, Scott, if you remember that movie.
Yes, I do.
One of the best. Jeremy Nichols, of course, the birthday boy with House of Horror, looking at Misery. And Andrew Ricci had about 17 other NBA columns up as well. Tomorrow, I have a couple more Halloween things planned. We have, of course, Josh Richards' Once Upon a Time review should be up the next day or so. Also, Scott, we have the Halloween Palooza Video Fest. If you remember back from the 4th of July, we put together a bunch of wrestling videos that kind of espoused 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we're doing that for Halloween. So it's the Pro Wrestling Halloween Bucket of Treats.
Ah, so very nice.
Keep an eye out for that. We also have a super team up, Place to Be Nation, Caliber Winfield and Jeremy Nichols looking at the top 5 Friday the 13th deaths. We have a new Hard Traveling Fanboys on the way. We have a Where the Big Boys Play repost coming, Halloween Havoc 89. And also, our buddy Brad and Chad, both of them, we heard them earlier tonight, are doing the 10 best Halloween Havoc matches. So a lot more Halloween themed stuff to come. You know, whenever you're hearing this, it'll be on Thursday the 31st. So, all right, Scott, I'm ready to pass out. My voice is shot. My head is shot. Everything's done. My body's shutting down between the... I want to be in bed before I have to watch the celebration. So, for Scott Criscolo, I am Justin Rosero, back in the saddle here. We'll be back next week with... No Way Out, right?
No Way Out 2001, indeed.
What else you got?
We have...
Oh, no, we don't have to do the draws yet. Do we?
Have to look into that. We have to look into that. Yes, we do. We might have a guest next week. I'm not going to... We'll confirm that on Monday.
Okay, yeah.
We may have a guest next week.
As of right now, we are scheduled for No Way Out, and then we're going to look at... Actually, we're going to try and pull it off. I think we can do it, Scott. The final Nitro and the Raw that coincides with it from March 26th to 1. So we may not do a full review, but we might kind of talk about that night and what led into it. Because I think it's going to be tough to talk about everything at Mania. So that may be a kind of catch-all show for that little... 2-week stretch leading into Mania.
Yes.
So we'll look at what was going on at that point. So, all right, that's Scott. I'm Justin. We're out till Monday in Vegas. Talk to you then.
Bye.
Happy Halloween!
Bourbon ale.
Go check out Samhain at Samhain's house. Get some candy. All right, disappeared.
Parv's cards.
I'm afraid of no ghosts. I hear it likes to guess. I'm afraid of no ghosts. Yeah, 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 yeah. Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters. If you have a dose of a freaky ghost, baby, you better call some more. I think you better call.